Well, if today was your last day on earth, what would you do? If today you knew as an absolute fact this was going to be your last day on planet earth, what would you be about? Would you go visit some grand place that you say, well, I wish that I could have gone there all of my life before you leave this earth? Would you get your friends together and maybe have that one last time together before you left this earth? What would you do if you knew today was your last day on earth? Well, that's exactly what is taking place in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, Jesus has resurrected. That's what we preached about last week on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Jesus has been resurrected, and it is now 40 days later. The disciples and all those that are around are going to witness something in just a short period of time, and they'll rivet it into their heart in such a way, the Spirit of God will, they'll never forget what they saw. Because as they gathered together, Jesus would speak to the disciples, and then the Bible says they would watch. They would watch as Jesus was just steadfastly taken away from them. And as they watched him go up into heaven, but Jesus had something to say to these disciples before he went back to the Father and sat down at the right hand of his majesty. And in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, I want to share with you this morning a message from the last day. That is, a message from Jesus' last earthly day here better than 2,000 years ago. You know, a lot of things that you can remember doing maybe yesterday or year ago or 2 years ago, but you're going to be listening to Jesus speak, and he speaks about what took place 2,000 years ago and what you and I need to hear his last message before he leaves this earth. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went away, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then the Bible records in verse 12, they left and they walked back into Jerusalem and they stayed there until the very presence and the very person came. Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to the Father. For 33 years, he walked on this earth. For 33 years, he lived and walked and grew and matured. And at the age of 30, you know that he began his public ministry. For 3 years, he preached and taught and healed and did miracle after miracle. And John's gospel said that if the world could contain it, they couldn't declare and they couldn't hold the books that declared the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I know that he was beaten, he was whipped, he was rejected, and he was taken outside of Jerusalem and he was crucified. He was absolutely marred beyond recognition. And 3 days later, early resurrection morning, early that Sunday morning, those women came to the tomb and they came to embalm a dead body, but you and I know that he wasn't there. And the Bible records that for 40 days afterward that he was seen. Paul said there was a group, 500 people saw Jesus Christ at once. And he said, he even appeared to me as of one that was born out of season. But now you've walked 40 days after that time frame. And Jesus is getting ready to leave. For 2,000 years, he's been gone. in a physical way. He's with every one of us because he lives on the inside of us, because you've been saved by the grace of God if you've accepted him and invited him into your life. But on this last day of Jesus' earthly life, he leaves you and me a message. What would a leader say? What would he say who had a massive following? What would Jesus say to the disciples? What message would he give to them because he's getting ready to go back? Would he say, just try to remember? What message would you give to somebody if it was your last day on this earth? Well, I want you to follow along in your outline because you and I need to hear this message very soundly, very realistically, because it's a message of hope. It's a reminder to you and me that the best is on its way. Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he gathered the disciples together, and all of a sudden they start watching him, and he's ascending out of their sight. And they've asked him some questions along the way. They've asked him, when are you going to restore Jerusalem to its independence? When is that going to be? Jesus said, you don't need to know that time frame. It is going to come, but you don't need to know when that's going to be. And he goes on and talks more and more about different things that are going to come. But I want you to notice four particular things that Jesus addresses on his last day. On his last day on earth, Jesus gives us his promise that his kingdom is coming. And that means that the best is yet to come. You know, all throughout Jesus' earthly life, even in the Lord's Prayer, he orients you and me to pray this prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now think about it for just a moment. The disciples had witnessed Jesus. They had been in the presence of Jesus and you know, he'd been dead for 3 days. He was resurrected. And now what? Is he going to establish a kingdom? Is he going to sit on a throne? What's going to happen now? After all, when you defeat death, you're pretty powerful. When you get up from the dead, because none of you have you? You can't. None of us can resurrect from the dead. There's not a one of us that have that power. And the Bible makes it very clear. On his last day on earth, they're getting ready to see something they would never see in all of their life, like they witness the resurrection. They're getting ready to watch Jesus ascend back to the Father. And the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus begins to talk to them about a kingdom that's coming again. There is coming a kingdom of God on this earth. The Bible talks about it all throughout the Old and the New Testament. When you get to the Revelation, it talks about it more in detail. Because there is something inside of every one of us that are Christians, saved by the grace of God. We know that this is not the best. We know that there's something that is still horribly wrong, and we live in a world of sin. Think about it. For 6,000 years, this world has been a world of sin. From the time that Cain killed Abel, the first murder, only God in heaven knows the countless number of murders that have taken place all over the globe up to this time frame. The millions and the millions and the multiplied shed lives, not to mention the wars, and the thousands and thousands that have been killed, and the multiplied millions that have been killed by wars, children that have been slaughtered, adults that have been slaughtered, and only God himself could condone the number. But whenever Jesus leaves this earth and goes back to the Father, he reminds the disciples that are listening, there is coming a kingdom of God again. When is it going to happen? The Bible doesn't give us a specific time frame, but the Bible does tell us that we can have some indicators. First, there's going to come the rapture of the church. When the rapture takes place, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. There's going to be 7 years of absolute hell on earth. By that time frame, probably the saints of God will be being judged in the paradise of God, and will be judged according to our works, and that will be a 7-year time frame. But from the time of the rapture to the time Jesus Christ comes back is a 7-year period, according to some of the best theologians. But Jesus makes it clear that he's coming again. You know, you and I, we read it, we hear it, and we wonder, what's that going to be like? What's that time going to be like? You know, the Bible literally says he's coming again. You and I read about it in the story of Jesus' birth. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the Bible says these words, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, these men said there, why do you stand here looking at Jesus as he goes in? Because here's the clue. Just as you see him go up, he's coming down again. What you see go up into heaven, this same Jesus is coming down. Well, when's he going to come down? We don't know that. The Bible doesn't say. But the Bible does remind us of this. And all throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis and in Zechariah and in Daniel and all throughout, he's coming again. He's going to come down. He's going to come down precisely to where he went up. He's going to come down the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk through the Eastern Gate. And he is going to sit on the throne of David the king. Because David only had one kingdom, and that was on this earth. Jesus is saying to every single person that's listening, you live in a world where there's war, there's sin, and there's so many things that are still going on, and we're looking for a city. The Bible says Abraham was actually looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I don't know about you, but I get tired of hearing some of the news. I get tired of reading some of the headlines. But Jesus is reminding every single one of his disciples that there is a kingdom that is coming. And the best, what that means is this, the best is yet to come. I never will forget reading the story about a dear precious Christian man. He passed away. And he told the people before he passed away, he said, whatever you do, please do not forget this. You bury me with a fork in my right hand. And they thought he was a little bit cynical, and they said, why do you want to be buried with a fork in your right hand? Well, he said, well, let me tell you why. When I was a little boy, my mom would fix a meal, and whenever we got done, she'd say, now, everybody keep their fork, because she would bring out some luscious, delicious dessert. And so we'd give her our plate and our spoon, but she said, now, keep your fork. And then in just a few minutes, she'd bring out something that was absolutely delicious. And he said, I got to realize as a little boy that you keep your fork because the best is yet to come. Folks, it may get tough down here. It may get rough down here. It may get tight. It may get hard. You may run out of money at the end of the month. You may not have any money in the middle of the month. But Jesus wants you to know, he wants everyone that is listening to know that he is coming again. He's coming to set up a kingdom. You say, is it a spiritual kingdom? Not at all. It is going to be in literal Jerusalem. It is going to be precisely where David had his throne, in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is actually, physically, literally going to come back just like he was taken up. He said, I want you to remember that. Because he knew these disciples were going to have hard times. He knew these disciples, some of them were going to be persecuted. Some of them were going to be killed. But you stop and think about it. How bad can it get when you think about this? Hey, your leader's coming back. Your leader's coming back. The story is told of Richard the Lionhearted. He'd gone and the absolute kingdom of England had gone into disarray. But all of a sudden, the rumble came through England. Richard the Lionhearted is back. Richard is back. And all of a sudden, everything became hopeful once again. Listen, there is coming a time when there will be war no more. And that's not just figurative speaking. Because the Bible says it's actually going to take place. That's why these men said, why do you stand gazing? Let me tell you, this ain't the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. And that's what you and I need to be reminded of. It's not the end. Listen. On Jesus' last day, no other leader can say that. Muhammad can't say that. And no other leader, Sun Myung Moon, can't say that. Hare Krishna, all the leaders, they can't say they're going to come back. Jesus said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember that I am coming again and the best is yet to come. Can you imagine? You know, I just think of a few verses that, talk about it. Can you imagine a world where there's absolutely, you know, no hate, no hostility. I like what Isaiah says when he talks about the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and fatling together. And, some people will say, well, you know, I believe we're in heaven. Well, then, and this, you know, some people will say that. Well, you put a wolf and a lamb together, and if they don't tangle, if they, you know that one's going to get eaten up, you know, we're not there yet. That's what Jesus said. He's reminding every believer. Why? Because there are hopeless times in your life. There are times in your life when you think, how much further can I go? You get sick and tired of reading of all the killing and all the murder and all the death and all the atrocities that are happening the world over. But Jesus said, I want you to know that I'm coming again. I want you to remember that. Second of all, he wants you to understand that he's gone away, but just as he's gone away, he gives you and me the promise of the Holy Spirit. Think about it for a moment. These disciples are watching Jesus leave their sight. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to help them? Who's going to guide them? Who's going to comfort them? Jesus said, it's good that I go away. And when I go away, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Now, if I ask you, have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? You'd say no. But if I ask you, have you ever seen the wind? You'd say yes, and we've seen an abundance of it in the last few days. That's what Jesus declares about the Holy Spirit. You can't see him. And Jesus said he'll be in you and he'll be with you and he'll be upon you. Why? Because you and I need that. We need a teacher. Every time you open the Word of God, and every time you listen to the servant of God, every time you listen to a song of God, or, and something comes to your spirit and a truth and encouragement, that's not you discovering something. That is the Holy Spirit revealing to you his Word. And you know, Jesus makes it very clear that I'm going to give to every one of you a divine person. I so love, you know, just to give you an example, and I'm going to take you with me into a very private time, and it's last week, and you have no earthly idea about this, but I'm going to share this with you. Last Sunday morning, it was an exciting morning. We was getting ready to baptize Zach. Wonderful Sunday morning. Only one problem. You say, what's the problem? Your pastor was back in the baptistry area, and I had a brand new baptismal gown or, you know, robe that I had never zipped up. And as I was listening to the choir sing and Byron sing, and I thought, Byron, keep singing, brother, I'm in trouble. I could not get that thing zipped up. And as I was back there, I thought, why didn't I try to zip this up first? But that didn't help me then. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, no, brother, you can't wear that out there. I mean, so I got back there and I needed help. Now, listen to me very carefully. You know what I'm talking about. You've been in those situations in life. You don't want to have a prayer meeting and call 20 people, but it's big to you in that moment. And in that moment, I thought, Lord, I can't get this zipper zipped. Was that big to me? It was big to me. I thought, I tried 3, 4, 5 times. I thought, where's Ralph? And Ralph had to be someplace else. He's always right by my side, but he wasn't there. And I was in the back, and I thought, now listen to me very carefully. That was a big deal because it was significant because we was doing everything we could to honor the Father. And I said, Father, this zipper will not zip. And just like that, it's like a voice said, halfway. Halfway. I turned the zipper halfway, and there it went. I thought, you think, well, why didn't you do that? Because you need a helper. You're in a situation in life and you don't know what to do. You're getting ready to make a decision. You don't know what to do. You're in a crisis in your life. You don't know what to do. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to give to you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. He is your Jesus every day because he'll always point to Jesus. He'll always point to the Father. And no matter where you go, you can never be alone if you're a child of God because you have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Listen, it's a horrible feeling to be alone. It's a horrible feeling to not know where you are. You and I have the Holy Spirit. This is a true story, and it happened just the other night, and names are withheld to protect the innocent. I got a phone call. It was 10 till 11. And this voice on the other end said, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. Now, they weren't talking about spiritually lost. They were in a part of Whitley County. They had no idea about it. It was 10 to 11. They said, you know what? I was going to pray, but the Lord brought you to my mind, so I didn't even have to pray. And but they said, I don't know where I am. And I could hear the panic in their heart. And I thought to myself, how horrible to be lost and not know where you are. And I said to this person, I said, I can come to you. One of the most wonderful things that I could say to that person was this. You may not know where you are, but I know precisely where you are. And that person said, well, I know that, but would you just stay on the phone with me? So I stayed on the phone with them, and they said, now I'm coming to a railroad crossing. I told them what to do at the railroad crossing. They said, I'm coming. I see a 25 sign, so I told them what to do, and I got them on the interstate. And the relief when they got on the interstate. Now listen very carefully. I told them the other day, I called them, I said, can I use your story? They said, oh, sure, go ahead and use it. But you know what it's like in life not to know what to do. And Jesus said, I want you to know, when I go back to the Father, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He is going to be in you, with you, upon you. He is going to shelter you. He is going to guide you. He is going to comfort you. And he's always there. It doesn't matter how big the decision is, how little the decision is, he'll guide you all along the journey of life. Listen, there's no little thing to the Holy Spirit of God. Many times, and especially in difficult weather or whatever, you say, Holy Spirit, I just need your protection around me. Young people getting ready to get married, you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to the right man or the right woman. And I can guarantee you, if you wait on the Holy Spirit of God, allow Jesus, you'll not marry the wrong person. Why? Jesus said, I want you to know that he'll be with you. And they wait because the Holy Spirit gives you a power. The Holy Spirit is not a power, he's a person, but the Bible says you shall receive power, power to witness. Don't you want other people that are lost to go to heaven with you? You want your friends to go to heaven. You want your neighbors who are lost without Jesus Christ to go to heaven. Jesus said, I'll give you that abundance, that power, that dynamic power to bear witness, and he'll be in you, with you, and upon you all the days of your life. And you see, it doesn't matter how lost you get. I have been situations in life, and I've said, Lord, I'm absolutely scared to death. You ever been scared to death? You're put in a situation, and you're petrified. And something has been asked of you, and it's outside of your comfort zone. The Holy Spirit says, I'll be with you. I'll give you every word you need. I'll give you everything at any moment. You say, is he very real? Absolutely. He is more real than the lungs that are in your body, than the heart that's right there. He is more real than the... And Jesus said, you'll have the Holy Spirit. When you get in a situation, you need help, you need guidance, you lose something. You say, well, can I talk to the Holy Spirit like that? Yes. You can ask the Holy Spirit's help. You may be in a situation and you need out of it. Just like a young lady I saw the other day came into my office. She'd been hurt physically. And I challenged her. She said, I am a Christian. And I told her how to be reoriented to the agenda of the Father. And I said, you have some needs, ma'am, don't you? She said, yes, I do. I said, have you ever thought about asking your Father? And it's just like it's a brand new thought to her. Listen very carefully. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you all along the journey of life. And doesn't matter where you go or what takes place, he's going to be there. Will he protect you? You better believe it. I'll never forget the story till the day I die. Young mother got off of an airplane. She said, I just know that the Holy Spirit impressed me to get off this plane. She said, I got my daughter off the plane. I got off the plane, got our luggage. She said, I don't know why, but said, I know that I need to get off this plane. They let her off. I wonder how many others were not oriented to the Spirit of God because within 1 hour that plane crashed and everybody on that plane crashed and died. You see, the Holy Spirit loves you with an insatiable love. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you, walk with you. And not only that, number three, on his last day on earth, Jesus gives a commission. He gives a directive. He gives a command to everyone that is listening to declare the message of Jesus Christ. Listen. Listen to what he says very, very clearly. In verse 8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, that's first. You realize the Holy Spirit, it lives on the inside of you. And then you shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what Jesus said the last day on this earth? He says, because I'm coming back, you need to get the message to others. Isn't it horrible to hear these words in life? Too late. Have you ever been too late for something? too late for an event and the doors are locked. Too late to get on some vehicle and it's gone. There is a sobering, saddening reality in life that sometimes it is too late. You know, you go all the way back in the Old Testament, and the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. The one big thing in the days of Noah was this. The masses were present, but it was too late. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we are raptured away? Can you imagine what the news reports are going to be? There is in the heart of God's servants in this day and time to preach on the rapture. There is in the heart of God's servant these days to preach on the coming of Christ. Why? Because at Amos chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says God does nothing before he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. Could it be that the rapture is right at the door? May very well be. May very well be. We're at the point. You may not get to live out your life before you're raptured and taken home. Jesus said, this message of the gospel is to be declared to all the world. Why? Because the Bible says the end is about ready to come. Jesus said that. You know, when Noah got in the ark, God sealed the door. Here's one sobering reality that Noah lived with. Out of all the universe of God, all the peoples of the earth, only 8 were saved. His family. And here's the sad reality. Paul said, I'd rather preach the gospel in 5 simple, understandable words so that nothing would be confused. Folks, I can't tell you any plainer. It's coming, and it's closer than you and I think. Your friends, your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives who don't have Jesus Christ. And you see, Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, he said, those that believe shall be saved. But those who don't believe shall be. And this is the word of Jesus. They shall be damned. Will you be saved or will you be damned? What a horrible reality as they looked at that ship and they knew it was too late. For 120 years, that man inside that ship had preached to them that the flood was coming. Preachers all over the world are preaching this morning, the rapture is coming. Preachers all over the world this morning are preaching. Why? Because Jesus said you need to remind them. Because, friend, when the church is gone, there won't be anyone to preach to you if you're lost. Will the world keep going? Oh, yes. It will begin an economic downturn. Why? Because you imagine that many millions of people being gone, and their work and all of that being gone. And they're gone. There will be the beginning of 7 years of horror on the face of this earth. And then Jesus Christ will come again to the Mount of Olives. He'll march into Jerusalem. He'll sit down on the throne of David. And the world will know the peace of Jesus Christ. But you know, the sad part about it is, there's just a whole lot of folks who say, well, I believe it's spiritualistic. Do you believe Jesus' resurrection was spiritualistic? Jesus coming to earth was spiritualistic? Everything that Jesus does is literal. People aren't going to a spiritualistic hell if they reject Jesus. They're going to a real hell if they reject Jesus. Amen? And that's what Jesus said, tell your friends. Get the gospel out. You say, well, I tell it to my husband. He don't listen to me. You can't make him listen. You don't beat him to death trying to get the good news to him. But you know what you do? You love him. You pray. It's like a friend of mine who was won to faith in Christ by his wife's cooking. You say, how can you be won to Christ by cooking? Well, he would get out and get drunk on Friday night. And I'll never forget him telling me the story. He said, preacher, He said, the best meal I had in life was right after Friday night. My wife would cook the best meal on Saturday morning. He said, that just heaped coals of fire on me. He said, my kids always knew when I got drunk, we had a great breakfast that next morning. Now, you don't want to encourage your dad to do anything to have a great breakfast. But the bottom line is this. She witnessed to him. He's in heaven, and she's there now too. Because, folks, it's coming to a conclusion. And lastly, on his last day, Jesus just says, I want you to be reminded, he's coming again. Now, you and I can't comprehend what they saw. What would you do if I started floating up? Well, you won't see that. I won't see you floating up because that's reserved for one, the Messiah, the Christ. But these men who stood by said, why are you gazing? He's coming back. He's coming back. Now think about this. The exact same precise Jesus. You say, well, what type of body is he going to have? The same type that he left with 2,000 years ago. He's going to have a body. You say, can you touch him? Yes, you sure can. When he descends from the Father, he will enter in, and he will be a King of kings, Lord of lords. And the Bible says of his kingdom there will be no end. You see, the one who died on the cross, though he was rejected the first time, the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. Can you imagine what that world's going to be like? There's a song, Looking for a City, where we'll never die. Can't you imagine? I just try to imagine. You know, I've got to die physically one time. I'm going to quit after that. That's all. You know, the wonder of God is this. Because of Jesus, you get to live eternally. Think about this, walking down the street, sharing with someone else. You may have been in heaven 732 years, and you meet somebody that's been there 1,757 years, but you both look great because his kingdom will never end. Never, 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 never. And the Bible says we'll rule and reign with him. You say, I'm not much into ruling over something. I'm sorry, that's the family business. God's ruling over his world. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you and I will judge the angels. It's coming. But the big question is this. Are you prepared? If the church is raptured today, you say, Pastor, don't scare me. Friend, listen to me carefully. I could be gone before I finish this sentence because the rapture is coming. The church is leaving. Jesus has said it. Now the question is, are you going? God won't make you accept him. I cannot make you accept him. Jesus won't make you accept him. The Holy Spirit won't make you. But when you're left behind, you'll know it's all over. And you'll know it's all over for all of eternity. Because Jesus has said, whoever does not believe shall be damned. Horrible words, yes. The absolute truth of a loving God who don't want you to miss. You see, all the people that sank and drowned, they didn't have to. They just decided to do one thing, reject God's message and reject his messenger. If you reject God's message and God's messenger, you have no hope. You have nothing in life and nothing in eternity to look forward to. Father, we bow before you, so mindful and so humbled that you are coming again. You're going to take your church home. There'll be a time of intensity on this earth. We can't comprehend it. But then you're going to come just like you left. Praise your name. Father, to know that all who believe in you, even if they're physically dead right now, they'll just get up to a brand new body, and we'll get a brand new one as well because of you, Jesus. Because of you, your death, your burial, your resurrection. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move among us right now, and those who are here that are not sure of where they would spend eternity would come right now and walk down this aisle confessing Christ as Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, you woo and you work is our request. In Jesus' name.